I got clients who literally can just write a check for a new home, but because they're smart and they understand cash flow, they will do a mortgage. They'll do financing for 30 years because it makes sense. But he had a case where, holy cow, 6 months later, they still didn't get the finance in place. But what he understands, what I understand, what a lot of my clients understand, is that it's so fun when it comes to your bank of Flores, is that you just can just pick up the phone and got the money in there. He's like, I want 10 grand, I want 20 grand, I want 30 grand. It's whatever you got in cash value. You know, they hold back a little bit, but the majority of it is there. It's just your money's back in that loan. It is so powerful. It's so empowering, and you don't have to get on your hands and knees and beg for your money.
You're listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.
Well, this is Ken Green, the host of the Engineer of Finance podcast, and I have my awesome co-host, Tammy Brennan.
Yay! Happy to be here, Ken.
Thank you. I love the fact that I have not overstayed my welcome of having you come on board and be my co-host, because you do bring out the best in me. So thank you.
I love it. There's a high return on of investment, and we just talked about why. Your humor is a big reason why I love hanging out with you.
Hey, thank you. I like communicating in a variety of different ways, and I found just having a reverent humor, which comes naturally to me, is helpful to help communicate some points and educate people. And so so it's nice to know that others out there appreciate my sense of humor. So thank you.
Yeah.
And by the way, if no one else finds me funny, as long as I find myself funny, when you get me laughing at jokes, I enjoy that. So thank you. So today I'm gonna tell you, I want to do like a Bankosaurus round three to continue on the previous podcast with all the tangents I go on. But you're going to get a little bit of Angrisaurus today as well.
I love it.
So I have found that as much as I love having fun, as much joy I get in elevating others and helping educate people on money and all these different ways to play the financial game, I also have found that anger really fuels me as well and helps drive a lot of good. And so I'm going to just use myself, and I love teaching others. I love teaching clients, just using myself as the guinea pig. I don't ask anyone to do anything I'm not doing myself. And so I'm just going to give a couple real case scenarios that I'm going through right now. And I'm going to attack the banks a little bit and mortgage companies, these loan entities, and tie it to Bankosaurus. So if you want to see a little bit of the anger side of me, let me know. So do I have permission?
Yeah, you know, but the reason why you have permission is I'm going to call it passion.
That's a nice spin. I'll take that. Call it passion.
It fuels you. You mentioned that earlier. This is what fuels you.
It does fuel me. And this is why all the contrarians out there, everyone who wants to play the game differently, I want to help. And I hope this podcast helps. And if I don't explain enough in the podcast, call me.
Yeah.
Go to my website, shoot me an email. I'd be happy to help teach you a different way to play the game. I'm going to talk about what I'm going through on a cash out refinance on my property in Midtown Reno. And I'm going to tie it to the Bankosaurus. So okay. Have you dealt with a cash out refi on a property, Tammy?
I have not.
Lucky you. So I'll kind of walk through this case and I'll just explain. This is why it's just so powerful to have your own money and not be dependent upon others. To essentially, when I've talked about the banks, I've talked about the spread, how essentially it's all your money in the first place and they're just giving it back to you. And one part I didn't talk about when I did the podcast on the spread, just to really talk about, and I do enjoy the banks. Thank you for the liquidity. Thank you for my cool bill pay abilities and credit cards and debit cards. It's so nice that I have that kind of liquidity. So that part I really appreciate. There's a lot of value. But the banks and how they make the spread with other people's money and they're just giving it out. I mean, Tammy, we talk about an example, I'm sure on the podcast on the spread, I like showing simple numbers where you put $100,000 into a savings account. You know, these brick and mortar banks give you back a whopping 0.10%. You might as well just make it zero. The 0.10 is insulting.
Right.
So 0.10 on $100,000, if you're getting that on an annual basis, that's a whopping $100. And then, because my bank, this is how cheap they are. They got to comply with IRS, but give me a break. They send me a 1099 miscellaneous form on a whopping $100 in interest for last year. It's like, guys, really? Really? So, yeah, it's great. So that'll be reported to the IRS, and they'll get their whatever the effective tax bracket was for last year on that. But so that $100 example, so if you're at a 25% effective tax bracket, you get to keep $75. Where they take that $100,000, go lend it to the neighbor for the Tesla, charge 4.1, and they're making $4,000. And so I talked about that. I'm sure it's just a very typical example I give because the numbers are easy to understand and pretty close. They're making $4,000. Why the people they're really supposed to make, you know, making all this money for, their clients, are getting a whopping $100 in their savings account before taxes. And, you know, after taxes, maybe keep $75. And they're making $4,000. And that kind of ratio, a 4,000% return, wow, is, oh, geez Louise. I mean, yeah, you take 4,000, they're getting out 100, that's a 40-to-1 return. And so as a ROI, as a 4,000% return. And yes, so that's why there's skyscraper after skyscraper after skyscraper. But one part I don't think I shared, and I got to, you know, go listen to my own podcast on the spread, is that there's something that's known as fractional banking. And so these banks, because that 4,000% rate of return, that ROI, that 40-to-1 return, that's not good enough for them. So if you and I did this legally, we'd be thrown in jail as a Ponzi scheme. We'd be thrown in jail.
Right.
But they get to do it, what's known as fractional banking. You know, the Federal Reserve, if you go Google it, research, there's so much content out there. The problem is sorting what's real and what's not. But the Federal Reserve Act was created in 1913. The banks, and it's all kind of interrelated, but the banks legally are allowed to lend out at a 10-to-1 ratio through fractional banking. So on that one example of the spread where they're making 4% on the spread, 4.1, they're getting gross lending to the neighbor buying a Tesla. They're giving back to you or me on $100,000, a whopping 0.10%, $100. They're making $4,000 on that deal, a 4,000% ROI. That's not good enough. They get to do that. And it changes a little bit here and there. But again, don't just take my podcast, my word for it on this podcast. Go Google it. They can, and you know, Google. Everything's Google. I mean, what an incredible browser, but there's just so much stuff out there, so much data. But it's amazing how the financial industry doesn't teach this to all their clients. It's amazing to me how a lot of the institution, you know, school, colleges, does not teach this information to the students. But they're allowed to go out and do that 9 more times. They're allowed to lend out at a 10-to-1 ratio. So you go, wait a minute, that's like turning lead into gold, isn't it? Yeah. They can take $100,000 of other people's money. It's not even in their own. And they can go lend it out at a 10-to-1 ratio. So for every $100,000, $1 million is out there.
Yeah.
Now, I'm simplifying it a little bit. And there's even more, but there's a lot more complexity to it. But when they can have $1 million out there in loans for $100,000 backing it, and this is why we have all these bubbles. That's why we have all these huge booms in the economy. And it's always followed at some point in time. It might be this year. It might be 14 years from now. Who knows? But there will be a correction. There will be also known as a collapse where people want their money back.
Right.
And so when you have $1 million out in this one simple example in circulation, and there's only $100,000 backing it, Tammy.
Yes.
How many people does it take
that
might want their money back before you have a real economic problem, an economic collapse, or a run on the bank and the bank's shut down?
Do I need to get my calculator out?
No, you don't. You don't need to get your calculator out. There's $1 million out there, and Tammy goes, you know what? I want my $100,000 back. And then your neighbor says, I want my $100,000 back. But there's only $100,000 for that million.
Right.
And so it's just a house of cards. When we had that market collapse in 2009, and everyone's turning to the news to figure out what's happened. Like the news only reports on what has happened. They're not a crystal ball. But you have all these experts talking, and it's like, hey, you know, Mr. Paulson needs to get a check for $1 trillion to to create market confidence. We got to hand over that kind of money because there's we need to instill market confidence. We need what they meant by saying market confidence is that what they're also trying to say is we can't have a run on the bank because the reality is the money is being lent out at least at a 10-to-1 ratio. So if everyone wants their money back, we got a real problem.
Right.
And if you watch, you read the book, or you watch the Big Short, and I sometimes screw up names of titles, which drives my family and friends nuts. But the Big Short, right? The Big Short. Mm-hmm. Everything I've been teaching on, I learned so much from my clients. And they'll, hey, you got to watch the Big Short. Everything you're talking about is like straight from that movie. I was like, you know what? I probably should watch that movie. Finally, my wife and I watched it, and it's like, so, geez, Ken, I don't want to watch a financial movie. Emma, come on. Everyone says it's so good. Well, she and I finally watched it together, and she's like, holy cow, that was a great movie. I want to watch it again. And what's the magic number of defaults for us to have a pure collapse? And I got to rewatch the movie, but I think the number was like 6 or 7%.
Mm.
7% of the population defaulting was going to create a collapse in the home industry.
Wow.
And so anyway, I'm going off on a little bit of a tangent on this to set the stage of why I'm so mad dealing with this cash out refi on my property. Because when it's you just want your money back. When you actually look at the whole system, it's our money. They're lending it out at this huge ratio. It's a very unstable environment. Very, very good for politicians because they can buy votes. And I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, or Libertarian. I'm not. All the politicians, it's so hard for when you can borrow money at such a cheap rate and no one really feels the effect in the, 30, 40 years down the road, it's great. So they can just let the money flow and borrow and just print money and create more money. And it's being lent out at this 10-to-1 ratio. But then when you include float with checks and you see what the banking industry and the brokerages, how they can leverage that. Do mm-hmm. options at 100-to-1 ratio, and mm-hmm. then holy cow, they get into the currency market, and they can leverage that at a 10,000-to-1 ratio. The greed or ambition, whatever you want to call it, just feeds on itself, and it's just so good. Until all of a sudden, the spigot gets turned off, and we have yet another collapse. And so I bring up all this because when you understand that foundation, this is why I love the Bancasaurus so much and why I love Whole Life Mutual is that when you see how they lend out and invest money, they have to have a substantial amount of reserves sitting in it, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they lend out, just like banks for investment to get the money to grow and to represent all the policyholders, essentially the shareholders in the company, they're going to lend out to get that money to grow. Very conservative investments. To grow the money so it can pay the debt minutes, you get increase in cash value. But when they lend at a 1-to-1 ratio.
Hmm.
That's why I'm not aware of any policyholder ever losing money
right.
in a whole life insurance product. Now, if I'm wrong on that piece, someone can send me an email or correct me, but I'm not aware of anyone in over 200 years that whole life insurance existed, mutual whole life insurance, that has been burned by a life insurance company that has not paid. That is such a strong foundation. And when you understand the fundamentals behind it, the reason why is they're lending out at a 1-to-1 ratio.
Which is integrity.
How solid is that? And so that's why I'm just so fascinated. It's such a simple concept of private people doing business with private people and not having this greed mechanism where you can lend out at such a phenomenal ratio. Because it's all great when you can turn 100 grand into a million and skyscrapers start moving, things start moving, and boy, does the financial industry make a lot of money. Compare that to something simple and boring as whole life insurance, mutual whole life, right? Dividend paying whole life insurance. It's so simple, but it's so brilliant. It's such a strong foundation to store your cash. And what's so powerful is, and I'm going to tie this eventually to why I'm so fired up. So my loan officer, he's a really good guy. I like him. But boy, did he get an earful this morning after like 4 to 5 to 6 week process just to take advantage. So the problem, I love our house, right? And thank you, banks, for lending money so we could go leverage it and get a great interest rate years ago, get a nice home in Midtown Reno. So thank you, mortgage company.
Right.
There's a place to it. I just wish there's pure transparency in a lot of pieces. So we got a nice house. But when we bought that house years ago, holy cow, did they want everything. You know, here's one of the things that stink about whole life insurance is that, yes, I don't like needles. And so to get through that process, you got to give blood, you got to give urine, right? Well, guess what? I think the regular banks and mortgage companies, they want that too. All the documentation we've had to provide over the last 4 weeks just to do a cash out refinance on a property, this is at less than a 70% loan to value ratio in a booming economy in Midtown Reno. And we've given them every piece of documentation. This thing should have gone through very, very quickly. And the only thing I haven't given them yet is blood and urine. And we still can't get this deal done. And it's like, gosh, guys, you guys are killing me.
And you would have had your money from your life insurance policy within the first week.
Yes. I mean, literally one of my clients last week, right? I think I might have mentioned him, very sharp engineer, great opportunity, sought him out. Not only has he proven how sharp and intelligent and hard work he is for the business, but he's also got to become more and more of a partner. He's got the money where he picks up the phone. He wants his money. It shows up electronic deposit. He had that money in under 2 days.
Wow.
And so opportunity to seek you out, because guess what? This might be a shocker. A lot of other employees, and this is very typical from industry to industry, they want to be a partner of a company. They want to rise to the top, and they've done everything on the work side, but no one has shown them the money side. And so once their opportunity to buy equity in the company, the money's not there. Right. And so true leadership's not just the intelligence and hard work, but it's also you got to show that you've got a fiduciary responsibility, that you're fiscally responsible, and that you've got money and that you can just write a check, you know, put your money where your mouth is, right?
Right.
And so what's powerful about the whole life is that, yeah, when we were told tangent, but my wife and I, when we were getting the house about 4 years ago, again, it's like such an act of Congress to buy a home. Now, it's amazing because they're not just trying to solve for debt to income ratio, DTI. I swear, and bankers, mortgage guys, don't get, you know, men and women out there, you're in this industry. This is my humor, but there's some anger behind it. But it's like, my gosh, I mean, the amount, they're not just trying to solve for debt to income ratio and make sure you're going to be able to pay off the note and pay the loan on time for 30 years. They're solving for drug trafficking. They're solving for terrorism. I mean, my gosh, man, they want to know, it's like, where'd that $500 come from? You know, I was having fun with a loan officer today. I said, "Hey, do you guys want to see my offshore accounts? From all the cocaine smuggling over the last few years? You want to see that stuff too? Because then I can show you got the cash. I mean, is that what you're looking for?" And so he was laughing too. It's kind of That's fun. Good. I'm yelling at him. He's laughing with me. So
you do look pretty sketchy.
Yeah. So it's like, come on, guys. But the thing is what was fun is, like, years ago, they want to know where this $500 come from, where this money come from, where this money come from, just to get a simple loan on a very humble home in Midtown Reno. The one thing they didn't question of all the other documentation is, like, I show them a cash value and the contract value for my wife's policy. Mm-hmm. I showed them a copy of my whole life policy and the cash value in that. And it was like, not one question came back on that piece.
Interesting.
And so, you know, because people ask me, it's like, hey, well, how will my whole life insurance policy affect me if I'm getting a home loan? I said, well, let me tell you my experience, man. They see that and it's like, that's like gold to them. Oh, and by the way, huge, substantial death benefit. So heaven forbid something happened to me or my wife. Most people are going to take care of that house payment really, really fast with that.
Right.
When that comes to you income tax free. But when they just saw the cash value, you know, we put a substantial down that property because we just picked up the phone and said, hey, we're going to borrow cash value from our whole life policy. And they didn't make us go down and get down on our hands and knees and beg for the money. It was like, do you want it electronically deposit? Or would you rather have it come snail mail as a check?
Right.
It's so empowering. This whole cash out refinance process, the only reason why we're playing the game is that, and this is what I teach clients all the time, is like, yeah, it's great. We've got a nice, humble home in Midtown Reno, you know, Midtown Reno, Nevada. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. I'm like, I can see the Sierra Mountains. I'm like 40 minutes from Lake Tahoe. It is so awesome living here. I mean, 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, you know, we're doing a podcast, Tammy, and I was like so confused and looking out my office, and it's 70 degrees out, 69 or 70 degrees. This guy's all bundled up like it's freezing. And then now, of course, today, I think it's like, you know, a few weeks later, it's snow, and it's like 20 degrees outside right now.
Wow.
So it's amazing how it changes so fast here in the area. I just went on a tangent again, but the point is, it's like, all I'm trying to do is, in a way, and you see how money flows, I just want access to my money. It's my money they're lending back to me.
Right.
And so as you see the whole, that you look at from a bird's eye view. So we're doing a cash out refi because there's a lot of equity that's grown into this house. Now, real estate's a real fun investment play. It can be. You just got to be careful. But this is our primary residence. It's grown a lot in equity the last few years. That's money that's built in the equity. It's just nice to go do that. I could easily go access the cash value in our whole life policies to improve the home. But it's just money that's idle. So I just want to play the game to create more cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
Because net worth is useless. Net worth, in my opinion, it's not useless. That's an extreme. Net worth has a component, but it's all about cash flow. And so it was just going to be a fun game to do a cash out refinance, put that equity to use so it can grow faster. It can accelerate. We can create even more velocity with the money.
Right.
And but holy cow, it has been like 5-6 weeks. I swear, at least it's felt like that. Maybe it's only been a month where it started off, you know what? You got so much value in the property. We don't even need an appraisal. And it's like, oh, yeah, we got to get an appraisal. Okay, well, we just need W-2s. That should be good. Oh, we need more than W-2s now. Now we need to have all your tax returns last 2 years. Okay, here you go. And then like 48 hours go by. Oh, well, we need this, 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 and this. Okay, here you go. They get it. I kid you not, pretty efficient. They get this stuff from me and my wife within like an hour, right? Here's all your documentation.
Sure.
And we wait another 48 hours. So this is a big hot potato game. It's like, my gosh. It's like, okay, guys, it's been a long time now. It's definitely been over a month. Now they get to extend the lock rate. And I still don't know if it's going to go through. And it's crazy. I got clients who literally can just write a check for a new home. But because they're smart and they understand cash flow, they will do a mortgage. They'll do financing for 30 years because it makes sense. So the banks and mortgage companies for sure have their plays. And so, but I literally have a client. Matter of fact, I'll see him later on today. Super nice man. Great, humble man, and who understands real estate, and literally could just write a check if he wanted to. But he had a case where, holy cow, 6 months later, they still didn't get the finance in place.
Wow!
So isn't that amazing?
Yes.
But what he understands, what I understand, what a lot of my clients understand, is that it's so fun when it comes to your bank of florist, is that you just can just pick up the phone and say, hey, I want 10 grand. You've got the money in there. Say, I want 10 grand. I want 20 grand. I want 30 grand. And it shows up and they don't get, it could be 100 grand, it could be quarter million. It's whatever you got in cash value. You know, they hold back a little bit, but the majority of it is there. It's just your money's back in that loan. It is so powerful. It's so empowering. And you don't have to get on your hands and knees and beg for your money.
And you know that the company that you're using to fund whatever you're doing has integrity because they lend on a one-to-one ratio.
I think it's a very strong fundamental concept that when you lend out money, you have a strong reserve, and then you lend out only a one-to-one ratio. And so I think that is an incredibly strong foundation. And that's why when you look at these mutual companies that have existed for so long, right, 175 plus years, 110 years, 120, it's based on sound principles. When you got the fractional banking, when they can lend out at just outrageous levels of 10 to 1, and then just for you to get money, they make you just go, I mean, I don't know what else I need to do, except literally the next step will be blood and urine. But I thought it was going to be a fun process to get to create more velocity of money. And the fun part is like, you know what, guys, it's great. It might be a fun game, but what's so powerful is it all starts with having a really good savings design. And the Bankosaurus, I can't think of a better one than having your baby Bankosaurus that turns into this mega Bankosaurus. And then you just don't have to answer to anyone over time.
Right.
And I assure you, I will never, after this, I will never, ever, I'll just let the house have a bunch of equity. And although I can show you why it doesn't necessarily make sense to pay off your house faster than 30 years. There's a lot of reasons based on current tax code that I really emphasize the power of a 30-year mortgage. versus a 15-year or paying cash. But holy cow, just for peace of mind, not having to answer anyone. You know, over time, you play the game with me, you understand the spread and savings and living within your means and how you can create a major bankosaurus or a bunch of bankosauri, right?
Yes.
That you don't have to answer to anyone. And you, if you want to go take advantage of an opportunity, you want to go buy another house, you want to go buy a car, you know, why even get on your hands and knees and beg for money and be so dependent upon a credit rating? Just pick up the phone, you get your money, and you're done. And you can finance everything in life yourself. And I just thought, just for a little fun game of getting 30 grand on this, just to put it to use, holy cow, I will never, ever do it again. I could have just easily just picked up my phone and called my, you know, my life insurance company and got the money. That wasn't the point. It was just to have fun. And what a, not a fun process, not a fun process.
I think it would be fun to do our next podcast. I know we're running out of time, but I think it would be great to do a second podcast on your reason behind wanting to use that net equity and why in the beginning you said it's not worth anything. And I know you changed that, but you know, why is that important to take net equity like in your home and find another use for it? I think that would be a great next podcast.
Yeah, I think that's a great suggestion. Yeah, we have gone on. Shocker, I went overtime, Tammy. But I hope on this podcast that, yeah, you get to see more of, yeah, you can call it passion because I'm a little fired up. I'm just amazed at the financial industry. And thank you, mortgage companies, for being there and able to lend out money. Thank you, banks, for having the ability to do it. At the same time, I want to see a lot more money in a lot more people's hands than more money in just a few institutions. And if it takes me and other similar minds like me doing podcasts to share this kind of information, and if you want more details, call me, right?
Yes.
I will be happy to help. I love this stuff, but I hope you get to see a little bit of the anger, angry source, if that exists. I know I get all the kid terms, but I just really love having fun with this. And so, yeah, I'm a little fired up today because it's just so interesting, but I will do... But a lot of it's just because I got my little two-year-old boy. He turns two next month, and I just have so much fun. I love my logo. I love Joey the T-Rex, and we will have a podcast on him soon,
yes,
by the way.
We should.
But I think that's a great idea, Tammy. I think the next podcast we do is my awesome co-host. We'll do we'll talk about why I want to take equity of that home because it's pretty simple. Everything's simple, right? Well, a test is easy once you know the answers. I'll talk about that, why I was doing it, why I thought it'd be a fun game, and why I just so love Bankosaurus even more, having to deal with these ding-dongs in the industry. So, and I mean that in loving, those are terms of endearment. You know, geez Louise. I mean, there's really good people in the industry. It's just very, very frustrating process. And I don't think I'll ever do it again. Not so fun, but I will explain why on the next. That's a great idea.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you as always, Ken, for sharing us your intellectual capital. I'm assuming you want me to take us out.
As always, I'm the host, you're the co-host. So thank you for jumping on with me again and being such an awesome co-host. Thank you, everyone, for listening. If you want to find me, go to engineerfinance.com. You know, call my office. You'll find me. And then, Tammy, sign us off, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, no problem. Everyone, thank you so much for listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you, Tammy. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.